So Luke chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 42 to 45. Again, I want to thank you for your prayers for us as well. And so appreciate the Mooses coming in this morning. They have a busy weekend. They have another service tonight. And had something happening last night. I know they are on their way to, and I think it was an Arab restaurant?
Grocery store,
opening up in East York and reaching out to people all over the area. So we're so grateful to work together and looking for more ways to work together. We have some ideas for the coming year, and so encourage you to be praying and thinking about that. But today we begin looking at the first Christmas songs. We're going to be walking through these during Advent season, and and then we will meet on Christmas Day, the 25th. And you know, in some traditions, no matter what day of the week is, that's what you do. You meet then. You meet on Christmas Day, because what a better day to worship than the day when we celebrate our Lord's birth. Now, if you have something else going on, we know it's complicated, because in our tradition we don't always worship on Christmas Day, but we would love for you to join us on Christmas Sunday, when it actually is on Sunday. Well, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are here this morning because you came. Long, long ago, when we first fell away from you, you promised that you would come. And so we're so grateful that you did come. And so, Lord, would you speak to us now by your Spirit, whom you have sent to illuminate your word. We long to hear from you this morning once again. And Lord, again, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other areas of the world that cannot meet freely like we do. May they know your special grace today. And may those, Lord, in Syria and who've recently come to you, Lord, we pray that they'd have a building and land, and that folks would grow in you, and we'd see a great multiplication of your word, Lord, in that region of the world. As we look forward to your return, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Mary gets a bad rap among Protestants, doesn't she? You know, that our Roman Catholic friends make a big deal of her. You know, they pray to her. They would say that she had something to do with the redemption, call her sometimes a co-redemptrix with Christ and all of that. And we would say, yeah, I don't think so. We don't go there. We would see that she's just kind of an ordinary person. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes we neglect the fact that she was an unusually blessed ordinary person, though we would take issue with those who might call her divine. She was really, really blessed. And because she responded to the blessing of God, God blesses us today. Because she said yes to the Lord, who is calling her to obey him in a very unique and very amazing time, amazing way in the grand story of God. As we come to this year, Christmas 2022, we come through a time when it seems like we've been lacking blessings. Seems like everything's been dark and black, and you know, and we've had a hard time getting together. I remember a couple years ago, like, doing the Christmas Eve message by video. Thank you very much. And you know what? We're grateful to be back. We're grateful to be together. But we've lost some opportunities. You know, I read in the paper about a family that went in for a teacher conference, and their kid had missed the typing class, and the teacher threw up her hands and said, well, you're going to have to figure it out themselves. And they threw out their hands and said, well, how do we figure out a typing class? And that's just kind of the way it is right now. It's just been crazy. It's like we've gone through a war zone and trying to recover. Isn't it time for the blessing of God? Isn't that what we pray for today? And what I'd like us to do this morning is to think about several ways that God blesses us through Mary's obeying the Lord. And so one of those is the calling of God. So Mary walks about 70 miles, pregnant. I don't know if she was barefoot, but she was pregnant, at least, and walked over to her cousin Elizabeth's home. And the women jump up and down, a couple of pregnant women, in excitement as they discover what's going on. They have both seen angel visitors. They both have baby boys on the way. The angel has calmed their fears. He's heard their prayers. They're both obeying the Lord. But there are some differences. Old Uncle Zechariah can't talk about it because he, the priest, the professional, is doubting the Lord. His wife was listening and obeying. And Mary was favored by the Lord, it says. But interesting, Elizabeth says she was favored by Mary just being with her. Mary's pregnant by a pregnant virgin by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, as a senior citizen. Remember Abraham and Sarah. Well, that's what's happening in the grand story of God. It seems like God is doing something all over again. And God blesses Mary with some incredible privilege. This is a godly young woman in a day when young women were not recognized anywhere. Who has faith and enters the story of God in a grand manner when her uncle Zechariah, the priest, is doubting the God whom he serves. And Elizabeth says, "You are blessed among women." She doesn't say she's a goddess. She doesn't say that she's divine in some way. It doesn't say that she's sinless. But she says, among women, she says, you are blessed. You are blessed. Amazing. Now her qualification was just that she was available and willing to follow the call of God. Amen. Now she had a calling that was very unusual among women. The only one in all of human history that would bear the God-man. But in order to be part of God's plan, she had to be available and say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And our callings are made possible by Mary's obedience to bear the God-man. Now, our qualification is like hers. Our qualification is it's availability, saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Lord, I'm available to you. Whatever your calling is on my life, be it large, be it small. And our callings are unique. There's a couple of us, a few of us this morning that have been on the platform. The majority have been in the pew. There's some that spent some time in carpenter shops. Maybe there are others that might spend more time in the temple. There's some that are older, some that are younger, some that are in between. Of course, we're all, you know, very in between. Some that are male, some that are female. But our callings are made possible, are all uniquely given to us, no matter what our stage and situation. And our access to that calling, it has to do with our availability to the plan of God. So one of the ways that God blesses us through Mary's obedience is to do with the call of God, which she had in a very unique way, but is also given to us. But there's more of that that comes about through the incarnation, and that is the presence of Christ. So notice here that what happens here. You remember that in those days, up until the church was formed, the Holy Spirit only came to the leaders among God's people. So Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Moses, Elijah. And it says here that at this amazing moment, this special point in salvation history, that the Spirit of God filled Elizabeth. Not her husband Zechariah, okay? But the woman who was home tending shop, well, daddy went off to work at the temple. No, the Lord filled Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, as the Spirit fills Elizabeth, Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed is the child that you will bear." She says, "I'm not worthy to receive even the mother of my Lord. I'm not worthy. I don't understand all of this about, you know, what this means, but Messiah, Redeemer, I'm not even worthy to have his mother here." And as the Spirit fills her to say that, at the same time, little John inside his mama, inside his mama to be, says he jumps for joy. It's like he just couldn't wait to get out and say, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." And the reason for all of this is because Jesus was in the room. You couldn't see him yet. But the Spirit of God was prompting his aunt and his cousin and his announcer to say, "Let's start jumping for joy." The whole room was jumping for joy because Jesus was there. And the same Spirit, the same Christ, that was present there, even they couldn't see him yet, is present with us right now. And with all of us, this is the amazing thing about what God did in Christ, is he's with each of us and all of us wherever we go. And we're not worthy. Just like Elizabeth was, she said, "I'm not even worthy to be in the room with his mother." We're not worthy to be in the room with Christ. But we are, by the grace of God. God has graced us in Christ so that Jesus is with us. That's what Advent, which means coming, is all about. Christ has come. Emmanuel is God with us. He is with us. And the reason is that God became human is what we call, in theological terms, what we call the incarnation. Now, my wife took Latin. I don't think it was even offered in my school. But, you know, incarnation, pull the word apart. I'm sure there's a real nice Latin word that goes with that. But I think of things like carnage. Okay? Or I think of our carnivorous. Okay? Those have to do with bodies, with flesh and all of that. So pulled apart, put it back together with another half of the word. We say incarnation. It means that God became flesh. That's what's going on here. God became flesh. And what that means, as it says in the book of Hebrews, is that God in Christ, because he became flesh, and then he was born to the Virgin Mary, and then he was raised in a little town, probably a lot like Pastor Moose's town. And I grew up in a little town too, you know. I mean, he grew up, he knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to get his hands dirty, to play with the boys, and to get out into the world and to suffer in this world. Because he was incarnated, because he became flesh, he understands what we're going through. He gets it. But then he didn't leave us alone. Just as he sent the Spirit to fill Elizabeth at that moment, he sent the Spirit of God to fill us with himself. And notice what the evidence of that is. The evidence of our being filled with the Spirit is that we have joy in the presence of Jesus. That's how we know. And so when we gather together, and the Bible says that he's displays himself in greater ways where two or three are gathered, and we experience great joy with him. We sing those songs this morning. Or we're alone with him. We're not alone. We're never alone. And we enjoy the comfort that he gives us in hard times. We enjoy his companionship when we're looking for wisdom. We enjoy his strength when things seem too much to bear. That's evidence that we take joy because Jesus is with us. We're never alone. And the incarnation blesses us with the calling of God, but and also with his presence. But finally, I'd like you to notice the incarnation. What's happening here is that we have hope. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Now, Mary had learned growing up, she would not have sat at the foot of a rabbi like the boys did. But she had a good ear. Maybe she learned from her mama. Maybe her dad. Maybe, I don't know, I don't know how young girls learn, but she learned enough that she knew that something was happening. And she believed that God was going to keep his word. The Messiah, she knew, was coming. She knew that that meant that a king was coming. She didn't know what that meant. Would he deliver her from Rome? She didn't know. She certainly hoped for it. But she certainly did not expect that her own son would be sacrificed. Sacrificed so that we might be redeemed from our sin, and that all of these sad things that we go through and all of the conflict of this world might be eliminated so that we might be with Jesus in a world that's better than it was ever, even was at the beginning, forever and ever. And so she trusted in God. She trusted that God would keep his word. She believed in something that she could not even see. God was fulfilling the promises in Christ. Jesus was delivering on them. He was crushing the serpent's head. He was blessing all of the world through the seed of Abraham. He was bringing justice to the nations. He would open blind eyes. He would free the captives. He would release people that were bound in the dungeons so that they might be free to be as God had made them to be. Jesus was a down payment of what was to come as he was born. So these days you might see something that you want to get someone or might want to for Christmas, and maybe it's on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. You see, oh, there's exactly what I want. And so you give them a quick call and you say, hey, could I give you something down for that? So here's $10, here's $20. I'll come back with the rest. Let me get to the bank and I'll come back and I'll give you the rest of this because this is exactly what I want to give to my sweetheart for Christmas or to my little poopsie or whoever, or grandma or grandpa. Here's a down payment. They say, okay, that's proof that you'll come back and you'll fulfill your obligation to pay me the rest. That's what was going on when Jesus came. The first time. When Jesus came the first time as he was born there in Bethlehem, that was the down payment. That was the proof that he would indeed come, that he would indeed give his life for us on the cross, that he would indeed be raised from the dead, that he would indeed descend in the person of the Holy Spirit to give gifts to his people, to begin his already but not yet reign, that we begin this period of waiting now for his return when we as God's people are given love for one another and for others whom we don't know on the other side of the world. That make us a preview of what is to come when all is made right. You see, the coming of Jesus the first time gives us hope. Gives us hope that the best is yet to come. Jesus was to come through the person of Mary. And as Jesus came, his mother grew. It's interesting, someone wrote about this recently in an article, Mary, Mary, Not So Contrary, written for people like us. And he said, you know, Mary grew in her faith. Here she was open to the Spirit of God at the beginning. But then as she moved along, then she opposed the work of Jesus. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. As Jesus started doing the miracles, Mary and the boy, his brother, showed up at the door and said, "What are you doing, Jesus? Stop this. You're going a little bit too far." And she was resisting the work of God through her son. But then what happened? As you look at the beginning of the book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit of God is preparing to descend, there's Peter, James, and John, the 11 apostles. But then it says that they all were joined constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The whole family had come along. And that's what God calls us to do as we follow him, as we offer ourselves over to the Lord, and we walk through life, and we're resisting the plan of God. We say, God, I don't like this thing that's going on. But the Lord says, trust me, trust me. And as we give ourselves over to him, then Christ becomes more to us. And we are to, and Christ works in us, and we grow like Mary did. A while back, I did a wedding for a friend of mine, whom I'd grown up with, and his fiance had a Roman Catholic background. And he said, "Well, can we do?" He said they'd really like to do the Ave Maria. Would that be okay with you? And I said, okay, yeah, we can do that. I want you to look at what the Ave Maria says. The first stanza is one, this was all in Latin in that one, at that time, as it was sung. But I think we would respectfully, can you see that? Okay. I'll read it for you. The first stanza is one that we would respectfully disagree with. Ava, which means Hail Maria, Virgin of the Sky, Sovereign of Thanksgiving, Loving Mother, accept the fervent prayer of everybody, do not refuse to this lost person, etc. Ava Maria. And we would say, you know, we love you, our Roman Catholic friends, but we can't go there. Not with what we believe about Jesus. However, the second stanza goes like this. I think we can go with this one. Ave Maria, full of thanksgiving. Maria, full of thanksgiving. Maria, full of thanksgiving. Ave, or hail. Ave, God, your God, be blessed among women, and blessed be the product of your womb, Jesus. Ave Maria. Won't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for brothers and sisters from long ago, like Mary, who said yes to your plan. Forgive us, Lord, for saying no, even some of us who ought to know better. But Lord, help us to say yes to you, whatever that plan is. Lord, however difficult that might be, help us to just trust you, Lord, with your plan, to give in to you, to follow with all that we are and all that we have, to love others as ourselves, like you did, that we might know you in all of your fullness. And so be part of your blessing all of the nations of the world through Christ Jesus as he lives in and through us. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you today. Thank you that we can love you with our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you this season. Lord, may we share you with the world that they may know him too. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.